Why have I asked my electrician I found on Angie.com to bury my pet hamster Nibbles in our yard for me? Because I was so moved by how carefully he buried my electrical wires, I knew I could trust him to bury my sweet Nibbles after his untimely end.
Huh, Nibbles. Gone too soon. May he scurry in peace.
Hey, sorry about your pet, but I just wire stuff.
Nibbles would have loved you like a brother.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
We're just getting right to it. I love it.
Welcome back to Smell You Later, your favorite podcast about scent and smell.
And your favorite podcast, period.
Period, according to the reviews.
This means nothing to anyone, but we're recording remotely tonight. And I've been saying I was going to buy a new mic for the just about 2 years that we've been recording for when we record remote, because I think I sound like shit on my old mic. I think I sound like I'm in an aquarium, and it's gotten progressively worse and worse. And finally, I just bit the bullet and was like, because last time we recorded, I was like, I sound like I'm in a tin can in an aquarium that has sunk into the bottom of the sea.
Wait, is this a new mic?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought it looked a little different. Okay.
New mic, new laptop, same bitch ass attitude. But like, hopefully this is going to be a better experience for our listeners. So fingers crossed.
We're very professional.
You know, yeah. The AV of it all has played us before and it will not play us tonight.
Yeah, we're a tech podcast now.
We are a tech podcast. We've always been a tech podcast, really.
I think so. Okay, I feel like we have to talk about the elephant in the Zoom.
Oh, God. Well, can I take it away here?
Yes, I think you should.
Okay, yeah, it feels right.
Yeah.
It's Wednesday night. Sable mm-hmm. and I saw each other last night. So imagine my surprise when I am minding my own business, checking my email, which I do because I'm a professional woman, and I see an email from the PR from none other than Le Labo. And I said to myself, oh shit, like they're finally pulling up, which after all the shit I've talked about the brand on this podcast, they deserve to do. Really specifically Santal 29, but whatever.
I like how you don't even get the number right. You're just like disrespectful.
Santal 33. Sorry. Oh my God. The way I sincerely said that. But they invited us in to their flagship store in Williamsburg to like really intimately get to know the perfumes and the rest of the collection, the candles, etc. And so Sable and I went and did that last night, and we spent a good hour in the store learning about the collection, getting to smell it firsthand, getting to smell the city exclusive collection, which we'll explain in a minute if we want to, which dropped by the time this episode will be out. Sable, what did you think?
I mean, it's not my first time at that particular rodeo. I'm like, you know, I live in the neighborhood. So, you know, sometimes when I want to just like waste time, I will pop into the shop, smell some things, not buy anything. And
yeah.
Well, I didn't know that the numbers next to all the names refer to the amount of ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
And I think by ingredients, they mean the amount of notes in each scent.
Yeah. Sure.
Because I'm like, that's definitely not the amount of ingredients, but okay. So yeah, I was like familiar with the collection, obviously. But yeah, we learned a lot. I was not familiar with the city exclusives, nor did I know that they're only available in September everywhere. And the rest of the year, you have to go to the namesake city to get that scent.
So if you didn't gather, Le Labo does a city exclusive fragrance for each of their, I believe, each of the cities that they're in. I can't imagine, or at least the major ones. I'm not familiar with how many brick and mortars they have.
There are a lot.
But there were like, I don't know. I'm trying to picture it like around 20, maybe more.
Maybe like two dozen, maybe.
Yeah. Oh, I think she said 26. I don't know.
Yeah, there was a lot, dude.
There was a ton. So we're talking Chicago, Dubai, Paris. I mean, cities.
Yeah.
And yeah.
let me say some cities.
Yeah. Oh, you travel? Name all the cities. But yeah, so I think it's really cool to be able to buy them to the place that you're in, because scent is so tied to, of course, memory and location. But also, I think it's really cool that they launched them to be purchased everywhere for a full month, because
that is cool.
I fucking want them. So that was cool. And I'm glad that when they brought us in, those were available in store, because they roll them out in store to smell in August, and then you can only buy them in September. So mm-hmm. they know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. People really flip out for that Tokyo one, the Gaiac.
It was really good.
I feel like that's the one that gets the most name drops. Mm-hmm. I also did not realize that the New York one is tuberose. Mm-hmm. And I was like, why did we get tuberose?
I know.
Weird.
I know.
Like, that's not what I think of when I think of New York.
Well, I mean, they don't want to bottle that. Like I said, I've talked a lot of shit about Santal 33 on this show because I'm, you know, whatever. But yeah, I was just pretty unfamiliar with the rest of the collection. A good friend of mine, Zeke, wears, I think, Tainoa. And then, I don't know, you know, people wear
people
the fragrances.
Wear
but also
them.
Like, but like, do they? I don't know. I, in spite of myself, really enjoyed myself with you and the people who were running us through the collection. I found myself really liking a lot of the fragrances, which I don't say that didn't take me by surprise. I just like to finish that thought. I would like to spend more time with them and wear some of the ones like Iris, and you know, you really like the matcha and things like that. I would find myself being like pleasantly surprised by each of them, because all the fragrances are named for a note, basically, or a city, but the core are all named for a note. And yeah, I don't know, I was like huh, maybe I should shut my mouth every once in a while. I won't, but I will consider doing so.
I do feel like Lil Lava was like the one brand that everybody name drops when they just discover fragrance or something. I don't know why it feels like that brand.
Do you? I disagree, but go off.
When people think they're like, oh, I know what the young cool kids like, Lil Lava.
Yeah, but like, the only reason I disagree is because their distribution is so limited that like you can't really discover them unless you are in a major city.
Well, you can buy them on like Nordstrom.com, and you can find them in department stores.
But if you're just getting into fragrance, you're not going to buy. I don't think you're going to buy Le Labo Blind from.
Well, no, because they're like $200.
Yeah, right. Also,
I also didn't know like the price point, and I was like, damn, these are like quite a bit more acorns than other brands of the same ilk.
I thought I knew the price point. And then I agree with you. Even the core collection, the city exclusives are even higher, you know, more up there. But even the core, I was like, okay, this is expensive. Even for like the 1.7, I was like, damn.
Yeah, like the 1 ounce is like $290.
Yeah, I often forget that Le Labo also mixes all of the fragrances right in front of you, which is
that
cute.
Is actually really cool. I do like watching that. It feels special. It's more of an experience and like the luxury component of it, which I get. So I was like, okay, I see that goes into it as well. And there's like the neurotic part of me that's like, what if it's like a busy day in the Le Labo shop and they're mixing all these fragrances and they like mix them up, or like they put the wrong oil in the wrong bottle, and like that's gotta have happened at some point.
Oh, totally.
And like, what do you do with the duds? Like the mistakes. Yeah.
And they put your name on the bottle, which obviously I'm obsessed with, because you put that my name on anything and I'll pay whatever you want me to for it. So yeah, so joke's on me. I will be thinking more about Le Labo. Oh, Sable, what fragrance did you walk away with?
I walked away with Tay Matcha, which I believe is their newest one to the core collection. And I think like one of their most unique scents that's like a really good representation of their whole collection.
Yeah.
IMO.
Yeah.
It's not the first time I smelled it. I remember walking to the shop like several weeks ago and putting it on. And in my memory, it smells different, like a lot different than it smelled the first time I experienced it versus yesterday. I remember the first time thinking like, wow, this is like, I really get the matcha, such a literal like almost like a variation on replica matcha meditation, which is like a very literal matcha based scent. And then like yesterday I was like, this doesn't smell like matcha at all. Like what?
The matcha one to me that you got is the biggest outlier, I think, in my mind for their collection, because they're all named for, you know, a lot of florals, some woods, and they're all pretty, I don't want to say literal interpretations because I don't really believe that to be the case in like a third of them at least, but you can track the iris in it,
right?
With the iris one, you can track the rose. You can like it's right there in front of you, and like it is expanded upon in a really beautiful way. But like you know what you're smelling, matcha. Exactly. Like you said, I was, and I know that there are a ton of ways to interpret matcha, but that one I was like, I like what I'm smelling, but I don't get matcha from it at all. I know matcha. I know matcha is a green tea. Like I know matcha is a green tea. Don't come for me, but it smells more like a note that would be called out as green tea versus matcha. I'm cutting that out. They're gonna drag me for that. Really? I don't know. It's just like, yeah, I like matcha a lot. It's just not what I would sort of expect. But I think it's cool.
Yeah, it seems definitely a little bit like rendering.
It almost also seems a little bit more like, I don't know. I don't want to say like trend chasing, but sort of like in response to things that are happening in fragrance. And I'm not saying like the matcha meditation and everything. It just seems a little bit more like on trend in the lifestyle space, more so than they usually, you know, are. And also they don't release a lot of shit.
No, they release a new one every 2 years, they said.
Damn.
This one is very, very figgy. And it was like, I was like, I know what this note is. It's like green, but creamy. And they're like, oh, there's a lot of fig in there. And I was like, that's the one. Mm-hmm. But I was like, this smells familiar and I don't know why. And they're like, oh, fig. That's why. Yeah. So like when I think of fig fragrances, I obviously think of Debaser.
Yeah.
Which is like the figgiest fig fragrance I've ever smelled.
Yeah.
And this definitely gives me that vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I walked away with the Tonka fragrance, which I am really happy with.
I knew you were going to go for that one.
I know. Fucking, whole time. I mean, like I said, I really enjoyed a lot of things that I smelled, but I was like, can someone give me something sweet, please? I beg.
I really love the vanilla Paris one. I know. One.
So the city exclusive to Paris is a vanilla, which we're both going to track down. But Tonka is really, really nice. The Tonka is pretty sweet. There's a lot of wood and musk undertones, but I mean, it is sweet, sort of like a lot of vanilla. It's sort of a very like syrupy, sticky vanilla. It actually reminds me quite a bit of Lush's Rentless, which is one of my favorites. I love that scent. It just makes me want to wear like that as well. So I'm really happy with what I walked away with.
Yes, I am happy with Te Matcha very much. I was torn between that one or Ambrette.
And I couldn't fucking smell Ambrette
sample of Ambrette and I really liked it, and then I got that sample like maybe like a few years ago, like 3 or 4 years ago at least, and I really liked it. It was like kind of soft and powdery and musky, and then like when I smelled it yesterday I was like, where is it?
Like, I couldn't smell it on the paper. I couldn't smell it on my skin. I was like so I'm weird. COVID again. Great. So weird.
Yeah, it was super weird. I was like, when did you change the formula? Like, what's going on?
I mean, last thing I want to say about this, because this has suddenly turned into the Lil Labo episode, but like I mean, just talking to the brand and all of that, and Lil Labo being what it is, I think specifically probably in New York City, because they have such a prominence here, having two brick and mortars, one in Manhattan, one in Brooklyn, and people are very aware of them. There's a lot of Lil Labo running around. We know which one specifically, but it struck me talking to the brand and the PR, like how, and being owned by Estee Lauder, like being an Estee brand, having gotten bought out, how protective they are of their brand and how true to their concept that they stay, you know, because once a brand gets bought by not specifically Estee, but an Estee or a Coty or a L'Oreal, like they start moving like a brand like that in little ways and big ways, and it all starts to look the same, like and you know, we see it happen every year, and Lil Labo certainly still feels like a really well-established independent brand, which is very impressive to me, just knowing like what they have to deal with or being familiar with what they have to deal with on the inside. I was thinking about that as I was like stomping around my office today. I was like, huh,
They must have like negotiated that as part of the sale.
Yeah.
Maybe they retained like more of an ownership or something. But Kara mentioned that the what's his face? Ronald, I don't know, one of the Lauders, the big wigs in the Lauder family, used to pop into the Nolita shop, the Nolita Lalabo shop, and sniff things and like talk to the staff and stuff. So like part of me is like, maybe it was one of those things where like the Lauders just liked the brand and then one day wanted to own it.
Right, right.
Yeah. Because like, I don't know who the founders of Lalabo are. They're like two mysterious French dudes. Like, I have no idea.
Right.
Are they dudes? Right. I don't even know.
Well, shout out to Lalabo. I am marginally changing my tune. You know what brand I am about to connect with and I'm really excited about? I think we've briefly talked about them. Overrose. They're that European company that does the croissant candle that blew up. And they're doing fine fragrances now that are like in these like very kooky wavy bottles that are all super like iridescent. Ooh. I'm excited about that. They're gonna send me some shit. Oh, and they were just listening to the show too.
Really?
I reached out and they were like, funny you should email us where your ears burning, because we were just listening to you like last week. And I was like, hey,
whoa.
I know,
it's so weird how like I mean, like, yes, I love this podcast, this project. I'm very proud of what we do. But I also, when I think of it, it's like, this is our kind of like a pet project. And then like the other day, because I have a very narcissistic Google search alert for my name, I was alerted to my name in a Vanity Fair article tied to this podcast, which was weird. It was from the May issue.
Wait, what?
Yeah, my name was dropped in the May issue of Vanity Fair, along with an article about rose scented fragrances and like how fragrance is like, you know, reinventing or overturning the reputation of rose as something from your grandma to something that's like modern and new and interesting, blah, blah, blah. Something like not your grandmother's rose, you know, that's like the sentiment. But I remember actually talking to the beauty director of Vanity Fair, Laura Regensdorf. And we were just like chatting about fragrances, but I didn't know it was for like that. Like, I didn't know
it was loud.
Yeah, I was like, and then like, I was trying to think back to it because I was like, if that's the May issue, then like, I know we chatted like in the spring sometime. And I'm like, I truly don't remember what I said in the book conversation.
That's so funny.
So it's, that's what, yeah.
That's why I always prefer written, because like,
yes.
Know what the fuck I'm saying? Like, I'm a writer. Let me write it down.
Yeah. But the funniest part was that like, whatever my quote was completely unnecessary. It was like the last line of the article, and it was something like, Sable Young, co-host of Smell You Later. Well, she called it a perfume podcast, which I was like, why did no fact checkers reach out to me? Because I wouldn't.
People are gonna call it that. They're,
but I also thought it was weird that like there were no fact checkers that reached out to me about that. But whatever, yeah. Conde. And it was something like a really nothing comment that had nothing to do with anything. Something about like fragrance is different now.
Like, that's funny.
That didn't have to be in the article at all.
Right.
Especially like the last sentence of it. I was like, okay, whatever. I mean, cool, but sure, I guess.
When Margot quoted me and Elle about perfume and gender and all of that, we connected via Zoom, and she mentioned something about like my hot pink wing liner or like my pink eyeshadow or something. And the fact checker would not get off my dick about that specifically.
Wait,
he was like, were you wearing a hot pink eye that day, a hot pink wing liner? And he's, of course, he's a dude, so he doesn't like know how to say it. And yeah. I was like, what? And he was like a pink cat eye. I was like, do you want to talk about what I said? And he was like, what were you wearing? I was like,
okay. Maybe because she mentions it in the piece.
Yeah, but I love that that's what they fact check for me, and then they don't even like
that's
talk to
so
you.
So funny. Yeah. Anyway, don't trust the media.
Please.
Keep mentioning our podcast.
Right, exactly. Sable, what do you smell like today?
Okay, so I kind of chomped at the bit earlier, but I smell like Lalabo Tea Matcha. I don't smell like tea. I kind of smell just like a woody, figgy, creamy scent. It's really nice. It's very pleasant. Also, I realized that last night I sprayed it on the little card that came in the box, and I like left it on my little dining table in the living room. And I woke up this morning and I like opened my bedroom door and I just like got a whiff of it. And I'm like, damn, this shit lasts. Like,
wow.
I mean, I was watching the guy make it and he like kept putting the dropper into the bottle of perfume oil and then squirting it into my bottle like 7 times. I was like, okay, this shit is concentrated.
Yeah.
At least there's that. I'm like, cool. But it smells... All day I've been like trying to put my finger on it because it really changes throughout the wear.
Mm-hmm.
But like overall, it starts out fresh and zesty, kind of green, and then it dries down to be a little like more papery and woody.
Yeah.
And then like finally it gets like a little creamy and laconic and like a little bit nutty, which I really like.
Mm.
It's beautiful. It's a lovely scent. It's not... I feel like I will be upset if like all of New York starts smelling like Tay Matcha.
Yeah.
But before that, I was like, no, this is a good scent. And I wonder, because I know the other tea scent, Tay Noir, is like a big hotel scent.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I could see Tay Matcha also being a good scent space for space scent.
Mm-hmm.
I could see that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I really like it. Tynan, what do you smell like today?
As mentioned, I also smell like Le Labo. I smell like Tonka 25. I really like this fragrance a lot. I feel like with a lot of the fragrances I have been lucky to receive lately, some of them new, some of them newer, but very new to me. It is very much like Tynan season. Everything has been warm, sweet, spicy lately. And, you know, I don't really do the whole seasonal thing anymore with my fragrances, but I'm not really ready to go there yet because it's the end of August and I'm trying to, you know, get every last bit of summer as I can. And I know I will have many, many months for all of this spicy fantasy, but this fits perfectly right into all that. It's gorgeous. Unlike Tay Matcha, it's a very linear scent. It smells pretty much the same right after it dries down as it does right now. I mean, there's a little bit of evolution there, like right from spraying it on, of course, but it's just gorgeous. It's really, they try to, by the way, the Le Labo web copy is garbage. Girls, hire me or Sable, like get it together.
It sounds like two different people did it.
Oh my God. It sounds like 20 different people did it. Yeah. It sounds like, God, for these $300 fragrances, it sounds like a Mad Lib. Anyway, respectfully, they sell this through as a woody, musky scent with a hint of vanilla, and I completely turned that on its head. It is very vanilla forward, supported by woods, and maybe given a little bit more breath by musk. But I mean, it's not vanilla in a literal sense. It's a very like antique vanilla. It's a very like bourbon vanilla. It's like caramelized, and you know, it's been burnt a little. It's it doesn't read vanilla, but it is sweet in a way that can only be vanilla. Do you know what I mean? It's great. It's like, what do you call that dessert, girl? Of the banana one that you set on fire? I don't know.
Dessert banana flambé.
Yes. I just think of like sweetness and heat. Yeah. I don't know. I love it. Like, I can't say anything else other than, like, I really like it. And I'm so glad I finally landed on a scent like this there. Because I could have walked out with Iris, or I could have walked out with something else and been very happy. But I will go back to this and I will definitely wear this. And
yeah.
I don't know. It has my name on it. And it's great. Like, I get it now. You know, I get it.
I wonder if it really was just like, was it celebrity proximity that made it like so much cooler in like the broader cultural sense? Because well, I remember like...
Isn't Bieber what made Santal pop off?
I think so. He was a big proponent.
Yeah.
So, like maybe that.
And you know what? Like, shit. It's like smelling Santal 33 alongside, you know, the rest of their collection. I was like, I do like this. Like, you know, I have worn it before. I wore it on our 1 year anniversary of this show, and I said I like it then, and I like it now. I guess I don't love how ubiquitous it is, but good for it. I actually like really liked it last night because it's so woody, but there is also like a cucumbery freshness to it. I don't know, it's great.
I think it's a good, like, I feel like there was just like a big sandalwood trend or sandalwood craze mm-hmm. of that era, because I realized that like so many brands came out with the sandalwood. Mm-hmm. So I was like, it's not just that, but I do feel like that's just considered like the symbol of that trend. I think it heralded in that like genderless, unisex, clean smelling, blah, 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 that everyone was obsessed with.
Yeah. And I think to that point, we are finally, I think, exiting this whole skin scent craze. Like I hesitate to even say it out loud, but I think that, and this is an incorrect category for the scent, but mm-hmm. I think a lot of people thought that Santal 33 was a skin scent, and it's not, it's a wood, but you know, it is, it's not even light. I mean, like it's loud.
No, it's pretty loud. Like I can always smell it when someone's wearing it.
Yes, completely. Yeah. And you always know, but like since it is in its own way, soft, textured, it's not super heavy, it's not super any one thing, it's just sort of this idea of what I think people would like in that skin. Anyway, on this Tonka 25 product page, it says it evokes the smell of warm skin and resinous wood. No, it doesn't. Like, stop saying that. There's nothing skin-like about this. It is like super sweet, and yes, resinous wood's fine, but like, stop, not everything's a skin set.
I think anyway. Like people who write copy for fragrance just write it as if it's like any other product, or they just write A, like what they've been told, and B, whatever perceptions of fragrance they had already, it just like plays into that.
Yeah, that's fair.
So that's why you get really basic things that don't make sense.
To finally switch gears, I want to follow up with you. You finally get your hands on, because this is not a Le Labo podcast. This is a Kayali podcast. You finally got your hands on Kayali Burnt Cherry.
I love Fest Burning Cherry. I love it.
You were standing that all week.
I was like, what's into going on here? That. Yeah. I mean, I already like cherry scents. So, and that is a new development for me.
Yeah.
I've always liked Tom Ford Lost Cherry, but it always felt like a special occasion kind of fragrance.
Yep.
Because it's like so intensely cherry that it almost feels like a cartoon. But love the Kayali one is much more multidimensional, complex. And like when you first spray it on, you're like, oh my God, yes, this smells so much like Tom Ford Lost Cherry, because it has that syrupy maraschino cherry scent. But then it very quickly changes, at least on me. And it gives me a lot of more like dark, complex, woody, drier notes.
Yeah. Yeah.
It also, it doesn't last it doesn't last as long as my other Kayali scents do, which is interesting. I don't know why that is, but it's just like more of an interesting journey on the wear.
That's so funny you say that, because I do not have that same experience with you with the wear. I think it clings to me. I cannot get that shit off. But I totally agree with you and your... So I was originally a little underwhelmed by it because I did liken it to Lost Cherry a lot, even though I did say at the time there is more going on and it is in a lot of ways better. I liked Lost Cherry when it came out, one, because you gave it to me and that felt really special to me, but two, it also felt like a new idea and a novelty. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, it wasn't the first cherry scent, of course, but just sort of the way Tom Ford did it in the candy maraschino cherry way, did it really nicely, and that's exactly what it is. But this, you're right, I think this is just a better version of that idea. I mean, it's got, you know, of course, a burning cherry note with raspberry and praline, but then you get Palo Santo, Guaiac Wood, and patchouli, and you really do get those in the back and throughout wear, but you don't lose any of the really juicy charred cherry or the berries or the sweet praline. Like the woods and patchouli just come up the back really nicely and balance it out. I really like this a lot.
It's really good. Mm-hmm. It is really good. I also don't entirely understand the huge hype around Lost Cherry. Is it just that it's expensive? Like,
I think it's expensive, it's sexy, and it's salacious. It's all the things that Tom Ford always is.
The more, like, going back to what you were saying about fragrance copy, every time the word sexy is in fragrance copy, I'm always like, why? Well, because they're always on wildly different scents. So there's no collective idea of what sexy is. They just like throw that in there. And I'm like, why and how is this sexy?
You should never if you have to call something sexy,
yeah,
it's not. Like, you should never say sexy. You should never say luxury. Like, there are words in brand copy that you shouldn't say. You know what I mean? Yeah. Because if you have to say it, then it's not. And that's something that I do all day. You know, like, it's...
There was one, I forget which one it was, but it said that the scent was both sensual and sexy. And I was like, are they not synonyms?
Don't those hold hands?
I was like, what?
I know.
Oh, like, did you just have to hit a word count?
Yeah, exactly.
In this essay, I will. But yeah, like, so many fragrances get the moniker of sexy. And I'm like, what do you mean by that, though? Mm-hmm, like, there's so many broad definitions of what sexy means. But then, and like, why is this? I don't know. Why is the cherry lost? What did you do with it? I don't. So many questions. So many questions.
You know what they did with it. Okay. I am going to have you introduce this episode because we've talked about it three times and I still don't really understand it. So.
I don't either. So, okay. The genesis is from a TikTok, a fragrance TikTok video about a girl. It's a girl and there's like, she does the green screen and behind her is a photo of like an iceberg and you see the top of it and you see it below water. And of course, you know, an iceberg underwater is so much bigger than what you see on top. And she was going through like all of the brands of fragrance that like she thinks represent the tiers of fragrance know-how. So like at the top, you have all of the popular mass fragrances that everybody can get into at the lowest price, the most accessible price point and availability. And then at the bottom are like the most niche, the most, if you know, you know, brands. And I'll be honest, like halfway through the iceberg, I was like, who the fuck are all these brands? I don't fucking know who any of these people are.
I'm sort of just like, what are we trying to prove here? Like, I do get it.
I know. I don't know.
Is this just like a flex of like, look at how much you know? And like, I honestly say that with no ill will or disrespect to the girl, but I'm just like, what are we saying? I'm sort of thinking of this as like a how it started, how it's going format. You know?
I like that better. Okay. I like that a lot like, better.
I think for our format, like not to simplify it by any means, but it's like we don't have the luxury of a visual component here. So I think we can walk our listeners and ourselves through this journey without having to like stratify it seven ways.
We will not do a YouTube podcast. Like, I don't know how people do that, but
which
I'm not
is
doing
a shame because we are gorgeous.
I know.
My look today is popping.
I don't know how people do. Mostly I'm just like, is this a nightmare for editing? Like,
girl, this is a nightmare for editing. And they don't have video.
Exactly. God. That's why I'm like, how do y'all do it? There's two things.
5 hours on a Sunday. Okay. I think we can do our personal journeys into where we started and where we are now. And I made a couple notes. But also it's like, also my question to what is this? What are we trying to that TikTok? Like, what are we trying to prove here? Like, I know all the niche brands or like.
I think that,
That or like a, is it a. Not to her, but like a money thing, like here are all the most expensive. Cause it's like, I look at my fragrance collection and I look at yours. And yes, I know that we are saying this as two people who work in the industry and get this all for free, but I don't even own a lot of like insanely expensive shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The smaller and the more niche the brand, they're not going to have PR that's
just
dusting those samples all over, you know?
Well, and as much as the listeners don't want to pay $500 for fragrance, bitch, neither
also
do we.
So completely.
And I'm sorry, that doesn't make us any less of an expert. That just makes us not an idiot or with generational wealth. I don't know.
And a lot of things are not available all over the world. So I'm sure there are a ton of amazing brands like in the Middle East that like we'd never heard of just because they're not available here. And no one's told us about them yet, but.
And anyway, I think that's why I had a hard time with the concept because I was like, what are we actually saying? Anyway.
We know what we're doing.
We know what we're doing.
Okay. So I started my fragrance journey began, of course, specifically with the Bath & Body Works hand sanitizers. I think because they were one of the more affordable things at the store. And when I was like a teenager, and, you know, $20 was a lot of money to me at the time. I don't remember how much they were. They had to have been like $10 or less, the hand sanitizers. But me and my friends would like collect them.
Mm-hmm.
The Freesia one was big. Sunripe and raspberry, cucumber melon, Juniper, Breeze. Like, I feel like those are like the big four that we all.
Excuse me. Warm Vanilla Sugar.
Oh, Warm Vanilla Sugar. I feel like that one came later. I don't know. I feel like that one came later down the line, but I think that's just like my memory getting foggy. But yes, that one as well. I liked the Warm Vanilla Sugar body spray more than this hand sanitizer. I don't know why. Maybe in like the super alcoholic context, it just like didn't translate as well. But I do remember that body splash being fucking everywhere in my high school. And it became like either you're a Warm Vanilla Sugar girl or you're a Cucumber Melon girl.
Yeah.
And there were two camps and those were it.
Well, you know which camp I was in.
Yes.
My introduction to fragrance, and this goes way back, let me take you on a journey, is I think I've only name dropped these ones on the show before. The Juice Bar fragrance sprays. Do you remember these?
I don't.
Yes,
I don't think I
you
do.
Absolutely do.
Maybe They're if I the saw ones, them, I would.
I'm going to show you.
Okay.
They are the ones that were like just candy scents. The one I'm staring at right now is Gummy Bear. They had Cotton Candy. They were just the most cavity-inducing saccharine fragrances. And they're like just for preschoolers. Like, this is the... Do you remember these?
Oh, my God. Okay, yes, yes, yes. I absolutely remember those.
Oh, yeah. God.
Yes. I never knew what their name was.
Yeah. I never owned any of these, but all my little girlfriends did in my very, very, very young years. And the way I would steal these and just douse myself in them. Because they were everything I wanted to be. They were like, smelled like candy. They were pink. They were perfume. They looked like a perfume bottle. I was like, this is everything I want. And look at what I turned into.
A little inkling of what was to come.
Exactly.
Now you're just a human candy.
Right. That's all I want to be.
Okay. Next tier was, of course, in the very mall culture days, the gift with purchase department store fragrances. My mom, whenever she would like go to the Lancome counter or go to the Clinique counter, she would give me the gift with purchase. I was just, because, you know, you have to take your kids shopping with you because that's what childcare is back in the day. So she was like, here you go. Here's a little present. No, shut up and leave me alone. And I had the like mini sizes of Clinique Happy, Lancome Miracle, Chanel Chance, all of the minis of those. And
Chanel Chance is elite.
Yeah. And I felt very fancy. But that was also the era where like real, like that to me was considered like real perfume, which I was like, this is too precious.
It is real perfume.
I know, but I don't know why in my brain I was like, there's body splash and then there's real perfume. I guess, I mean, yes, they are different products, but like my perception of an eau de toilette or eau de parfum was so much more elevated that I was like, I can't wear these every day. People are gonna make fun of me for wearing perfume just because kids are mean and bullying was like a normal and fun activity for everybody to do.
As I'm like, bring back bullying.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you are going growing up faster than I am because my timeline is still very much like a young person. You already name checked it, but I think it's obvious that it's on both of our lists. It is Bath and Body Works, but mine was more so the body lotions. Ooh. And yes, they were, it did sort of, as it always has, you could say a lot about the kind of person you were by which Bath and Body Works scent that you chose to wear. And I think a lot of my, without like throwing myself down this rabbit hole, a lot of my obsession with scent as a young person and the kind of scent that I was drawn to and obsessed with had a lot to do with like knowing I was queer, but not even being old enough to know what that meant.
Right,
like,
right. Yeah.
Knowing I was queer, but not even connecting that to same-sex attraction. Because what does that look or feel like as a 7-year-old? You know what I mean? But like, that's why queerness is so much bigger than just sexual attraction.
Oh, and yeah.
That's, I think, why I was so obsessed with scent as a young person in the kind of sense that I was, because it was the only way that I could sort of unpack that and explore that in a safe way. And in a way that like you couldn't see, you could only smell. But yeah, so that's my next one.
Yeah. Okay, I feel like I'm taking a weird little back track, but it's not chronologically. So my like third tier is Victoria's Secret, specifically. The Victoria's Secret fragrances, of which there were a lot, there still are a lot, but specifically not the ones in the underwear store, the ones in their like standalone beauty store.
Their beauty store, yes.
Yeah, it was the Dream Angels collection, specifically. And the whole thing, there were like three of them at the time. There was Heavenly, Divine, and Halo. I think there was another one called Dream, but like, I don't know. They just kept coming out with more of them. They all kind of smelled pretty similar in my memory, but they probably didn't. And then there was one specific body splash in that. It was like a limited edition one that I got on sale, one of their like semi-annual sale things. And it was so effervescent, powdery, musky, super violety, super irisy, which like now explains why I love both of those things. And to me, it was like the epitome of like girly, like sophisticated girliness, where I was like, I was also a very tragic pick me in high school. So I was like, I'm not like the other girls wearing like Juicy Couture.
Right.
I'm wearing this limited edition Victoria's Secret body splash. Yeah, little did I know.
Yep.
And my high school boyfriend at the time was like obsessed with it, which like to my teenage girl brain was like, that means it's the one. And I think because it was Victoria's Secret, which in my perception of that day was like such like a sophisticated, quote unquote, like sexy grown up brand, I was like, this is it. This is me becoming a woman. Even though I was still terrified of actual sex at the time. But like, it was just, I don't know, a way to like play with that idea of sexuality. And that one day I might also myself be a sexual person.
Right.
And yeah, I felt very hot in that sense.
Yeah.
That was my hot girl scent. And like, because I bought it with my own money and it wasn't just like a hand-me-down fragrance. I was like, I chose this for myself. So it felt very grown up at the time. Very official.
Did you, let's not have this conversation, but did you watch the Victoria's Secret
movie? No, Doctor I Sears? Didn't. Should I?
Okay.
So you're second person that asked me.
No, I just asked for that. I mean, it's everything you'd think.
Yeah,
I mean,
but what is crazy is that I recently smelled Victoria's Secret's newest fragrance, Bare, which I think is like not the first, but like, okay, like maybe the first standalone fragrance they've launched since their whole like rebrand. And I was just really curious, like what the Victoria's Secret interpretation of Bare is, because they build it as like an intimate gauzy skin scent that's invisible and intimate and just like for you and the people close to, yeah, you know, like all that shit. And it smells so similar to those Dream Angels ones.
Really?
Yeah. Very, very similar. A little bit more subdued, but I was like, well, the DNA is still evident.
This whole rebrand, I'm sorry. I'm just like, can you just be a company?
It's
like,
messy.
And clean up your act. Like, it's messy and like, it's obvious. And like, I know a lot of people who are like making the rebrand happen on the creative side, as I'm sure you do as well. But, and I'm just sort of like, good for you. I love what you're doing. But also like, you are, the specter of the company is too big to have ever outrun. It's like, just go to, you know, work on Parade until they get canceled.
Just be a company.
please. Like, I don't know. Like, we know what you did. Like, congratulations on being inclusive in 2022.
I know.
God.
Yikes. Big Tables yikes. Mistakes.
My next one is department store fragrances. Department store fragrances, but not department store counter fragrances. I'm talking still being like a little boy stomping around the like little boy clothes section. I don't know. And they sold a couple roller balls that I remember getting my hands on one or two, and you couldn't tell me shit. I am sure that I was just rolling that roller ball over every inch of my teeny little body and fucking sucking the fragrance out of the ball. It's like, I felt so sophisticated and so grown up and so cool. And I was probably still in single digits. And do you ever smell those scents from childhood that were like, obviously like a white label shelf formula that they just like put in these things and sold for $15? Do you ever smell those exact fragrances in other products that are just as much of a low lift for a brand. Like I swear that these are just like stock scents that they roll out every couple of years, and things that like just need a scent for like for men, like a axe deodorant or a hair product. Like, oh, it's scent 34B. We haven't used that one in a while. Put that one out. So like I every couple of years smell that specific scent in something else that's just as like, you know, affordable and utilitarian as a rollerball like that, in that was $15 at JCPenney, you know.
And I'm why like, do so are. Many for men scents smell the same? That's what I don't understand.
Well, have you met a man? There's not a lot going on.
But like, why? But it's like almost every for men's fragrance smells the same to me. Like, what the hell is that about?
This is another episode.
That's another episode. Like, I would truly love to know why all of those accords are like, yes, this is the pour homme.
It's because they sell and they know that like they will sell again, you know, just like anything else. Also, like men and nuance don't go well together often. So why would you like, you know, create this like lovely thing that's a new idea anyway? I can talk shit about men. I'm allowed.
Well, what's crazy is that like I don't even think it's like necessarily because men said we only want this one thing. It's like literally just like the marketing. They're like, we will only sell this one thing that we know men will buy, and they never stray from that formula. So they never know, like men never get options because of that. Which is also like kind of sad, but then it's like, guys, someone's got to give. Come on.
Don't defend men on this
podcast. I'm not
defending
men. I'm talking to the marketing teams.
They're not listening.
No, they're not. They're not. They're looking at the stats. I mean, and
if the past couple weeks have taught us anything, they are listening. Hey, girls. What's next for you?
Okay, next for me is retail fragrances, by which I mean the likes of the Gap scents, the Abercrombie scents. What other stores have scents? The Urban Outfitters scents. That I don't really see them anymore. I don't know what happened to them.
Oh, I think those are still very much a thing. I also want to say that I did tell everyone they cause cancer, and I was wrong about that. They don't, and I'm sorry for saying that. but yeah, they're very much still in store, and they have like they have a couple in store, but they have like a billion different scents online of the same like little squatty rectangle bottles.
Yep. And I'm just like, who are you? Who is making?
Literally, who are you?
Because I know it's like an in-house label. So I'm just like, what? What's happening? Yeah. I mean, the Gap scents are, if you grew up in the 90s or early aughts, like iconic to pop culture. And we were sent the new ones they have. They're still very similar to the originals. I still love them. I like keep them in a weird little collection in the back of my closet. That's like, I just smell them when I like want a boost of like nostalgia or something. But those would be my fourth tier.
I think I've completely lost track of numbers at this point. Yeah. My next one would be, and it's funny because this is such an outlier for me, like at this point, and sort of always has been, is scented deodorants. When I was in middle school and entering high school, it was, I think I started high school in 2002. I'm about to be 35. We know that I can't tell time on the show, but it was Axe came out the summer right before my freshman year of high school, and before that like things were getting very Axe-y, and that like the men's deodorant category, from what I remember, was evolving from being more than Old Spice. Like they were really creating like small collections of like really sporty scents like Ice Mountain and like Fire River or like, and that's like all anyone smelled like in high school. And then of course Axe hit, and it was like game over for everyone, whether you wanted to be or not. But that I didn't, because I started wearing fragrance regularly every day pretty young, like I think by the time I was a freshman or sophomore in high school. So I didn't, and even then I was like, well, I don't want two competing scents on my body, especially those like deodorant scents, which are loud as fuck. They were then, still are today. So I switched to being an unscented deo girl. But in those too, when we talk about like stock men's scents and things like a deodorant that's a, you know, what, $6? It's a banana. How much could it cost? $10? Yeah. So like I will experience those scents in my day-to-day a few times a year, then I'm like, I know exactly what the scent is, and I know exactly what it was 15 years ago. You know what I mean? Yeah. Ew, was I a freshman in high school 20 years ago?
Ooh, I don't like that at all.
Yeah. Yikes.
Is that
yikes.
True? Wait. That is true. Whatever.
I am finally in high school. 20. Oh my God. Okay. So now we're in, I moved out of the house. I'm on my own in college. Quote unquote moved out. It's like you live on campus for like 3 months at a time. But I went to like kind of like a hippie liberal arts school, and like everybody was really into making their own like kind of essential oil blend scents.
No.
And the Namat oils from Whole Foods.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Yes. Those were like the if you know, you know scents in college for me. And I would cop this was like still in my shoplifting days. So I would cop the.
I love your shoplifting era.
The Egyptian musk and the jasmine one, and mix them together for my own unique little scent. And I felt very chic.
It's so funny because I literally just bought one of those last month.
I know. Yeah. They've been around for ages. They're great. And I truly wonder, I'm like, what is this company? Like, what do you do? Like, how much of this oil do you produce?
Holy shit.
What are your sales numbers? Like, I'm just curious.
Right. I guess I think my next one would be, I'm still in high school at this point, but getting to department store counter fragrances. So, I mean, my first ones were Burberry Touch, John Varvatos, which I'll never pronounce correctly.
It's his fault.
Marc Jacobs. Yeah, right. So yeah, I mean, then I think by high school, I had just pulled up into the mass fine fragrance space, and I have never left.
Yes, on that note, also that, I think this was around the time like Sephora became a lot bigger, and there were so many around New York City, and I was working in the city at the time as like a shop girl in various shops in various neighborhoods. There was always a Sephora nearby, so I could always pop in before or after work and just like spray some shit. And because I was living on Long Island at the time, so I had to take the LIRR into the city, which like runs on less of a schedule than like the subway. So sometimes, depending on whenever like I had to be at work, I would have to take like a train that's like that would get me in the city a little bit earlier than my shift, just because otherwise the next train I would have been late. So if you ever had to kill time, I'd go to Sephora. I fell in love with specifically Escada scents. I never knew what they were because the bottles always looked the same, but they were like slightly different, like flankers. And they were always like Flamingo Girl or like Rio Nights or like something like that. But they were always these really juicy, fruity gourmands, which I thought was the height of sophistication. And I fell in love with Very Irresistible by Givenchy. No, those two specifically. Yes. Okay. Oh, and Nina Ricci, Nina.
Okay.
That was my fruity gourmand stage.
I love that.
Yeah.
You love an Escada scent.
I do.
My next one, I suppose, I mean, I was firmly seated in the, you know, mass department store scents for probably, you know, the next 5-7 years of my life. But I remember the first time I broke out of that was, I have definitely told this story on this show before, but I bought with my own money a Bond number 9 scent.
Wow. When I that's was like very big level. Like it's jump. Yeah.
It's still big level. I don't want to spend all that money on a fragrance right now, but like they had done a couple Andy Warhol collabs, but they had recently put out one that was very fragrance wise. It was very me. It was very plum, very purple. And so was the bottle, and it had his face on it. Like one of his portraits, of course. And I just like thought it was the coolest thing. I needed to have it. And I had a pretty like rough summer job wise. And the bar had opened back up, and I was finally making money again, hand over fist as a bartender. You know what I mean? Like 23 making tips. Like, what am I doing? what I was doing was buying a Bond number 9 scent. So that was, I still have it actually. And I think that was my first foray into like capital L luxury. I mean, I think frankly, fragrance is luxury period, because I mean, it's one, you know, disposable income, no matter how much it costs, it's a fragrance. You don't need that. And two, I think, you know, department stores, of course, luxury, but this was like neat, I wouldn't call Bond number 9 niche, but I would call it.
They are.
I call it high end.
They're niche. They're definitely luxury high end.
Yeah.
But they're also just like very expensive.
They're so expensive.
Like, I think at the time, like, I was thinking that, like, the price of department store designer fragrances was, like, the standard. So anything above that, I was like, why is it so expensive? Like,
I think I still think of that as a standard, though.
Yeah. Yeah. It does differ by brand, I've realized.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of a, like, a Clinique would, or Lancome would go for, like, 60 or 80. And then, like, Marc Jacobs would, or YSL or Dior would go for like 80 or 120. So it's like kind of in that ballpark, but
I think they start at 60 depending on what you're talking about and what size. What is my next one? Then I guess, like, I mean, we're already at like high-end luxury, but I think, like, when we started, that was sort of the beginning of the very beginning, early stages of like the beauty boom of the early aughts. Do you know what I mean? So we started seeing more niche fragrance houses, and, you know, any of the ones I can name drop at this point are the ones that we always talk about. But right. I mean,
on that tip, I will say, like, okay, in the era when I first started beauty writing for, you know, Exo Bane as a freelancer, and this was, I think I literally almost 10, like 2013 is when I started beauty writing. And at the time it was when like bloggers were like spat upon as like scum and wannabes and posers. So getting beauty samples sent to you was like kind of a hassle.
Unless,
really? Unless you worked at like a magazine, they were always like, any publicist was just like, well, what is this publication? Where do you write? Can I see your portfolio? Mm-hmm. Like, what are the numbers? And I was like, fuck's sake, just god damn it. But at the time, because I wasn't well versed in that, I just assumed that like if I ever made a request, I had to cover it, it had to be positive, and I had to provide them like all of the stats that I could, which now I'm just like, fuck off. This is free press. But also the attitude towards beauty is also very different. Like, now I could ask for anything and nobody would really give a fuck. And the ones you do are annoying, but the first time I got sent like a Byredo or a Diptyque, I was like, oh my God, this is the height of luxury. Because not only was it like luxury and artisanal, it was like the quote unquote cool brands at the time. I think the first Byredo scent that I got sent was the unnamed one, and I covered it in Exo Bane.
Oh, I remember the Sable Sauce. Yeah.
And then I was sent a dip. I forget what Diptyque one I was sent. It was like a woody scent. And I remember like not even particularly loving the scent for myself, but just like it feeling so special because it was like Diptyque. Mm-hmm. Diptyque had a moment in like the 2010s.
Oh, yeah. Yes, absolutely.
It was like the height of like the coolest scent you could have. And now, I don't know what's going on with them now. No idea.
Yeah, no.
I've never got a press release from them in the last 5 years.
Oh, I have.
Yeah, you have.
Sandy.
Even like at Allure, I was like, where are they?
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, that was like my beginning of like my obsession with fragrance.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess like once I got into the more niche space, it's just been sort of like off to the races. But then, I mean, we just have like beauty and capitalism to thank for that, because now it's like everyone has a scent. And like, I do think, I mean, understanding like what it is and why it is, like, this is a pretty exciting time to be in fragrance and to love fragrance, because I mean, for better or worse, everyone's doing a scent. But to see brands, I mean, take Boy Smells, for example, a brand that I do love, and like their queer owned company that is really like about that life and does good work, seeing them go from candles and intimates to fine fragrance and to really excel in the space and do great things and to have them become like a household name and launch in Sephora this week. I think, like, you know, yeah, it's all money. Like, they're all companies. Like, we don't worship brands in this house, but it's like, okay, if you got to like something, you might as well like some good shit done by people that you like or brands that you feel seen by, or, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. Here there's just so many more options now. Mm-hmm. Which I think is great that it is at least making fragrance in general more interesting, more accessible, and not so hierarchical.
Yes.
Which I do like. Because like now I'll wear anything and it doesn't matter if it's expensive or not. Yeah. I don't have that perception anymore of like, this is better because it's more expensive. I don't think that anymore.
Yeah. Right.
And I think most people shouldn't think of fragrance that way either.
I agree.
I don't even know what level we're at, but that's just where my brain, it's like the galaxy brain meme. I'm like, that's where
yeah, right. Right. That's it. That's exactly yeah. what this has been.
What's next in the world of smells?
What is next in the world I know. Of smells? You always talk about personalization. I think synthetics, more to come on that.
It's funny because like synthetics have always been around. I just feel like for whatever reason, like I don't think people would be as aware of them if people weren't making such a big deal about natural and clean fragrances, because everyone before they're like, if this is natural and clean, what are the all the other things?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeesh. Well,
that was our journey.
Tell us either how you got into fragrance or your favorite era in your fragrance journey and the fragrances that stick out to you, or tell us whatever the hell you want. Our DMs are open.
Yeah. Tell us in a review on Apple Podcasts.
Yes. Tell us in a positive 5-star review. Yes. Or it could be a negative review with 5 stars.
Also that we will read those first.
Follow us at smellulator.mp3 or hit our website smellulator.live.
Yes.
That's all right.
Yes, that's right. Follow me at Sabletooth Tigra.
And I am at Tynan Buck. And until next time, we will smell you later.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.